Hi, my name is Gary Houck. I'm here tonight to discuss Clifford Lake Inn, one of the historic eateries in Montcalm County.
Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we are going to look at the communities, the businesses, the attractions, and the people that make up Montcalm County. Here is your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Discover Montcalm podcast, and I have had the honor to interview Gary Houck, who just introduced this piece on the Clifford Lake Inn. But when a little backstory, he was originally coming in here to do just MCC. But me, not being shy to at least ask the question, thought he wrote other books that had to do with Montcalm County. And because I know he's a world traveler, he's done all the states. If I get him in this studio, in my studio here at DW Video, I need to take advantage of that. Kind of a selfish, I could get three podcasts out of it as opposed to just
do it.
It's just the one. So a handful of hours before he shows up today, I send him this email saying, by the way, why you're here, and thank you for being so gracious.
Absolutely.
We did Heritage Village. Mm-hmm. We did MCC that you have written books on. Mm-hmm. And one that where you and I first met was on Reverend Ole Amble.
Yes.
And that one we did. So you can catch Gary on a few of my podcasts. But again, because I'm trying to get some history, I want to get it from people that know about it. So thank you again for coming in.
Learning about it. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun. So this all came to pass because Connie McEwen, who was an owner of Clifford Lake Inn back in the 2010, 2011, 2012 era, okay, shared an interest when she found out about my writing the story of Montcalm Heritage Village,
yep,
and Montcalm Community College. She said, is there any possibility of having a book written about Clifford Lake Inn? Because it was founded back in 1881.
Right.
I mean, it's one of the historic landmarks of Montcalm County. And so my response to her was, would you mind if I enlisted students to help me with this?
Oh, okay.
So I don't mind compiling it if I get some assistance in research. And so she said, let's do it. And so I had five students in the Howard City campus of Montcalm Community College,
okay,
who agreed to work with me on that project. So this book, The History of Clifford Lake Inn, is a product of their research and mine collectively, okay, together with her at the Clifford Lake Inn, and also going through their archives in the process.
The backstory. I love the behind the scenes. I love the backstory. And you've been commissioned to write a handful of books.
Have, correct.
As well as authoring some of your own.
Sure.
Within your own ideas. And one thing, just a quick little recap, because we talked about it when you first arrived, that you are a world traveler. Hmm. You've done a little bit. Can you kind of give me a little Reader's Digest version of how many countries, how many states, and that,
sure,
please?
Sure. I've been so blessed, Dwayne, so blessed. In the last 40 years, I've had a chance to go to 118 countries, all seven continents, and all 50 states. And so it's been a passion of mine. And some of those were taking students on study abroad trips. Some were just myself with my family, and some just myself, and also being asked to teach at a few places. I taught in China, taught in Uganda, taught in Ecuador, and also taught in Russia for a semester. And so I had tremendous opportunities that I'm very grateful for along the way.
And most people can't say that. people can't say that. I mean, we can all be thankful for our opportunities,
sure,
and they don't have to take us out of this county to be.
Sure. And I love Montcalm County, and I love exploring our own area here,
yes,
and I love Michigan. So happy to talk about that as well.
And that's kind of right up my alley.
All right.
You know, I want to do that. So let's go back to the inn. Mm. 1881 is when it was first established.
Yes.
Can you give us a little timeline history from that point?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, when it was founded, and it was built by Lewis Smith and James Richards, not too far from Richards Point at Clifford Lake. And they wanted it to be a full-service inn where you would pay one price for your room and also for your food.
Okay.
And so it was that was a standard way of purchasing hotel accommodations at that point in time. But as I saw pictures from that era, I see badminton rackets, I see fishing gear, I see baseball bats. And so I understand that it was also a recreational resort.
Okay.
So Clifford Lake Inn was not just a restaurant back then, but it was a place to come and enjoy the lake and enjoy some sports, enjoy some badminton. They also had some dances and some music there, live music for their guests. And so it was quite the place. And it was a place that also featured culinary cuisine. So they were known for their artistry of food.
Okay.
So it was a well-known establishment and well-respected in the state of Michigan.
Before we go on,
yeah.
A question just because 1880s,
yeah.
90s, that part, travel to go from one part of the state to another part of the state took a while.
Horse-drawn buses.
Yes, yes. Do you know how close was the nearest railroad to Clifford Lake at that time? Do you know?
You know, I used to know. There were quite a few trains that crisscrossed Montcalm County.
Oh, I know that part.
And so my guess is there were some that came quite close. And there are rail beds all over the county from
right.
from that era. So yeah. There were quite a few.
Because I'm kind of wondering if, you know, we got the horse-drawn buses,
which right.
is what they were called at the time.
Sure.
But for a place like that to survive, it probably had another access to other types of travelers that could come in. And I was just kind of curious where the train actually went through.
Yeah, and a lot of guests came from the Lansing area. So I'm guessing there may have been a rail that came from the Lansing, not too far away from
right.
Clifford Lake at that point. But I don't know for sure.
Okay.
McBride certainly would have been a place.
Right.
And McBride's would be close. To Clifford Lake Inn, so that would certainly be one of those stops. We know that from the depot that's right now in Heritage Village.
Okay,
yeah,
and you can find out more information about that depot in the podcast that Gary was on talking about Heritage Village.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry to interrupt, but
no.
As you're sitting there, I'm going, how did people get there?
Yeah,
how did people get there? Because the travel isn't like what we're used to.
Sure,
and people sometimes didn't travel out as far.
Right,
so. If we could continue down our timeline.
Yeah, so 1914, I saw some pictures at the Flat River Historical Museum in Greenville from the era that we're talking about now that show a large dance hall. So a large circular dance hall was added around 1914 for big bands.
Oh, okay.
So big bands came to Clifford Lake Inn, and they had huge crowds on Saturday nights with these concerts. And if I understand correctly for how the picture looked, it looks as though that dance hall was built around a large tree. So that may have been even the center pillar post
sure.
for the support of that roof. But
which I understand.
Phenomenal.
I don't know a lot about the history, and I don't know what era this happened. Because you look at Clifford Lake Inn today, and you don't picture a dance hall.
Right.
But people have to remember, or not remember, have to know that there was a fire.
There was, the 1930s.
Okay.
But already 1920, we have Prohibition from 1933. So from those 13 years, we're also told that there was a little bit of a speakeasy going on at Clifford Lake Inn.
Okay.
And if you go down to the basement, you will see a door that's got a little bit of a a slit opening, open and close to see your eyes.
Oh.
And so we're told by many who were back in that time period that that's where you could go to get your liquor if you wanted it. So Mac and Maud McConnellville purchased it in 1925, and that's who were told may have had the speakeasy going on in the basement. And then it was 1929 when the big fire occurred.
Okay.
So when the fire happened under their watch, it destroyed about 85% of the building. It was almost a complete loss. And I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, because I didn't know there used to be a dance hall, and I'm thinking, you can't put a big band in this location
Correct.
Of what we know today.
Sure.
So
yeah, it's changed configuration many times since then. But it was rebuilt, and it was quite popular up to the 1950s. And they still continue to have dances. 1945, Ed and Eddie Welch bought the inn, And then they had numerous owners between then and 1963 where it changed into more of a rock and roll bar. So not so much now an inn where you would go to stay, but simply a restaurant and more so a rock and roll bar at that point in time. It did fall into disrepair in the 1970s. And so I've seen also, again, pictures of it, and you wouldn't recognize it based upon pictures you've seen before or since then. 1976, you had the bicentennial year and new owners, Norm and Diane Iper. And so in 1981, they had their 100th anniversary, 1881.
Yep.
And I saw their wonderful menu. Oh, my goodness. They really had some delicious fare, including their sautéed mushrooms, for which they have been known ever since. So that kind of came from that wonderful era. In 86, also, they were designated an official historical site by the state of Michigan. So you will see a marker there today. And then, of course, Tammy Iper and Steve became the new owners in 1994. Second-generation owners, and then 2010, Larry and Connie McEwen bought it. It closed then in 2014, and now it is being owned by Tom, Mary, and Katie Stewart, and they've done a wonderful job with it. Now, people asked, when they read the book, do you believe this is really haunted?
There's a story there.
Oh. So when you go inside, I think it's still there, you will see a sign that says, this has been checked out by GHOST paranormal investigators and found to be haunted.
Oh.
And so the stories that I have heard when we were there interviewing, of course, Connie McEwen said there were times when she would leave at night, the lights were out, and she would see the lights come back on after she left. She would feel presence walking by her.
Okay.
She would feel a cold air mass going by her. She would hear footsteps. When the paranormal experts came to set up their equipment, they had infrared, they had audio recorders.
Okay.
And at one point, they had in the basement the audio recorder going on. And they left it on as they went back upstairs. And on the recording, they hear the words by something unearthly that's talking and says, "All clear." So as they saw these humans walking up the stairs. So at one point, they asked these apparitions for their names, and they got two names. One of them was Ed, and I have it written down here somewhere. The other one, I think it was Michelle. Let me pause for a second to find that.
The Discover Montcalm podcast thanks West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, M106.3 WGLM, DW Video, Blueberry Podcast Platform, and Business Growth Engine. Thank you for your support.
So after the all clear was heard, some individuals asked the question, do you have a name? What is your name?
Ooh.
And they heard two voices. One said Ed, and the other said Megan. And so now the question is, who were Ed and who were Megan? And some say that it may have been people who were perished in the fire.
Oh, okay.
So that's what brings that narrative back to bear.
Somebody's writing a what they think the history should be.
Correct. Correct.
You know, and another reason why I love this podcast is I didn't know anything about the ghost part.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And didn't really realize that it had been there as long as it has.
Sure.
You know, always a nice place to go.
I love it.
And have a meal, sit on the deck in the summertime, and you know, it's just wonderful.
Sure.
So there is a sign that says it's been, you know.
Yes.
Any other little tidbits about the building that you can share?
Well, a fun one, and I'll just go back and say that those who helped me with this, because I compiled it, but a lot of the research was done by my students. Ashley Sen from this area, Diane Boomenshine, Sierra Wallstadt, her sister Savannah Wallstadt, and lifelong learner student Laura Ellsworth Engel, and her husband Larry, who also contributed stories from Clifford Lake Inn. One of those is that back in the day, there was a parrot that was graced inside the Clifford Lake Inn, and the guests would like to give it a little bit of alcohol. And on one occasion, it got a little stoned, and it just dropped off of its bar and slipped it off until the next day it came back up again and sat on its little perch.
Kind of like humans. Some humans.
Exactly. Anyhow, so Larry and Laura added some cute little stories about the patrons and what they experienced over the years at that. But I love the place. It's a great food. It's a great environment right on the lake. We've often been there for special occasions, but I think it's one of the fine historic eateries in Montcalm County that I still enjoy going to today.
And it's nice that they have done some remodeling. They keep it
they
nice.
Have.
It's really a location.
Yes.
You know, you can go out and you can visit different places around the county, and you can end up there for a nice dinner or a nice lunch. And
the baked goods and desserts right now are phenomenal.
Well, I like that too much. We won't go there. So those that are listening can find more information about Gary at GaryHauck.com.
Correct.
All of your books, and your books are available on Amazon.
They are.
Mm-hmm. And where else?
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you'd like to leave us with, whether it's Clifford Lake Inn or a story about Montcalm, that you could kind of end this session with?
I would just say life is to be enjoyed. People ask me, you know, what keeps you going? And I think the passions in life that keep me going are relationships, the wonderful state that we live in. I'm here by choice. I mm-hmm. love the state of Michigan. I love being active, and I want to be a lifelong learner. So as you talked today about learning, that's my posture.
Okay.
I don't want to stop learning. I want to keep on learning all that I can and enjoy life and those sweet people who are around me all the time.
I guess I'm going to close on that note, because that is a wonderful thing for all of us to kind of take in our own way. Hmm. You know, make it your own and just enjoy life. So thank you, Gary, for taking the time with your history. You can find the Discover Montcalm podcast on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Go to discovermontcalmpodcast.com. You can check out all the episodes, grab the RSS feed, put it in your favorite podcast browser. You can catch us on Pandora, Apple, and iHeart, and you can check out it on YouTube, as I said. So if you want to see the visual side of this, you know, I love sharing stories, and I find that in Gary and I had talked about that, you know, we happen to be probably two of the most shyest people in the county. But no, on that note, we're trying to, you know, learn. We're trying to learn more about the county. That's kind of been my mission. So if you've got a story about Montcalm County, business, personal, family, whatever it happens to be, reach out to me at 231-250-9624. If I don't answer, I'm probably in class, but leave a message and I'll get back to you, or you could text me at that number as well. So on that note, thank you for tuning in. My name's Dwayne, the host and producer. Remember to buy and shop locally.
The Discover Montcalm podcast is produced by content creator Dwayne Weed at DW Video and Multimedia LLC at dwvideo.com, or call 231-250-9624.